Hi, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Fit Writer podcast. I am Kayla, the Fit Writer, and I know it's been far too long since I have spoken about the Air Force and done an episode in my Air Force Basic Military Training Advice series. So here I am. I promise I have not forgotten about this series at all. So this is episode 2, and I just want to talk to you guys a little bit about the enlistment process, because that in itself can be kind of confusing. And so in this episode, I'm going to go over the various components of the Air Force. There's not just active duty, there's also the reserves and the Air National Guard, and then talk to you guys a little bit about MEPS and the ASVAB and the enlistment process. And because the enlistment process is actually different, active duty versus reserves versus guard. So I just want to break that down for you in this quick little episode. And then after this episode, I will finally get into the meat and potatoes of basic training and basic training advice. So I hope that you guys enjoy, and hopefully this is helpful for those of you who are considering joining the Air Force. Okay, so full disclosure, in this episode, I have always been in the Air National Guard. I enlisted. The process that I went through was the Guard process. So I might get a few things wrong when it comes to active duty and reserves. Please don't yell at me or call me bad names or whatever. It's just that my process is significantly different. Also, keep in mind that I enlisted back at the beginning of 2012. So that was over 7 years ago. So there might be some differences from what I've heard. I don't think that it's too much different, but I don't know. It could be. Who the heck knows? Lots has changed in the military since I joined. And then another thing is that any of my opinions or whatever in this that I might voice or share with you guys is strictly my own, does not represent the views or opinions of the United States Air Force and the military and the Department of Defense and blah, blah, blah. They're all mine. So just got to throw that out there. First and foremost, I would like to start with the difference between active duty, reserves, and the Air National Guard. A lot of people aren't aware that there are multiple components of the Air Force. And I mean, we all work towards the same mission. We kind of do it in different ways. But the common thing that these three components have is that they all go to basic military training. They all go to tech school. They all wear the uniform. And they all serve in the United States military. So first and foremost, active duty is what most people enlist in, because a lot of younger people don't know that there is such thing as, I mean, maybe they know that there's the reserves, but so many people during my career who have been active duty, they hear about the Guard and they go, oh man, I wish I would have known that. So active duty is a great way to see the world right after high school, because you end up moving usually every 2 to 4 years. That's typically dependent on your job and manning in the Air Force and things like that. Sometimes I've heard of some people that have gotten stationed in places for longer than 4 years. And I've also heard of people that have stayed in, have PCS'd to one base, and then a year later they get orders to another base. So, I mean, it all kind of just depends, but for the most part, active duty moves every 2 to 4 years. They are the ones who literally, the military is their job. They work full time. They, deploy the most. That's pretty much active duty in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot of other differences, but that's active duty. Reserves is also, it's not exactly like active duty, whereas you can decide what base you go to and you can stay there for your entire career. I've personally never met someone who's in the reserves or the guard who has stayed in one place for their entire career, but, you know, it is doable. In the reserve component, you have the opportunity to work full-time. I'm not quite sure if that's in, like, a technician status or, like, an active guard reserve status. I think it might be a combination of both. Or you can do your drill weekends, as it's called, which is 1 week in a month and then 2 weeks of active training a year. So I know that also the reserves, they have like traditional reservists who do the 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. But then they also have like non-traditional reservists who do essentially 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. However, they can combine it however they want. So they could literally just knock it all out at once and go on like a couple months of those types of days and be paid for it. Reserves, they do deploy. So that's not any different. They have all the same jobs, things like that. It's just the difference is that like you don't PCS every 2 to 4 years. You kind of can choose like, okay, like I kind of just want to go here sort of thing. So the guard, on the other hand, the guard gets a lot of flack. Like a lot of people call us weekend warriors, and like a lot of people don't realize that reserves can also be weekend warriors. But the guard is also the same in that we can work full time if we want to on like an active status, a technician status, an active guard reserve status, and we can also do the 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year, and have a civilian job on top of that. Guard does deploy. A lot of the time, though, it's like voluntary deployment. They ask for volunteers. And believe it or not, like a lot of people are like, oh, I'd never volunteer for that. Actually, like guard people, like we raise our hand a lot to volunteer because there's just so many benefits to volunteering for a deployment, like pay-wise, and it looks really good on your military record, and there's a lot of perks to deploying. I personally have never deployed yet. I'm just going to throw in that yet there because, you know, you never know what the future holds. My husband deployed voluntarily back in 2016. And it was tough to be away from each other, but at the same time, like, it was such a great decision for us to make. It put us in a very great spot financially, and his career really, like, took off. I mean, he was already, like, a outstanding airman who had received a lot of awards and stuff, but even after he came home, he ended up, you know, commissioning and going into pilot training. So it really worked out quite well. Now, the difference between the reserves and the guard, because a lot of people are like, wait a second. Guard and reserve sound kind of like the same thing. Like, what's the difference there? So the reserves, basically the way that I always phrase it to people is that the reserves are owned by the federal government. The guard is owned by the state government. So if you're in the reserves, you typically aren't called up to, like, for example, natural disasters that happen in your local area, whereas the National Guard and the Air National Guard are, because they serve the state that they are based in. So, for example, I did some time up in the Nevada Air National Guard, and obviously, like, Northern Nevada and Northern California have had their fair share of wildfires, and it was not uncommon for the Nevada Air National Guard to be called up to the fires because they could provide a lot of, like, air support that civilian aircraft could not provide. So it's just kind of things like that. You hear all the time, like, in Louisiana, when they are struck with like a hurricane or a tropical storm and they're expecting flooding, they'll also deploy the National Guard and the Air National Guard. And the difference between National Guard and Air National Guard is that the National Guard is Army and the Air National Guard is Air Force. So they respond to state emergencies, but they also can be quote unquote leased to the federal government, meaning that they can still go on deployments and, you know, do things in defense of our country, not just their state. Now, the enlistment process for each component is also different. I'm not super familiar with the reserve enlistment process, but I am familiar with active duty and guard, obviously. I would assume that the reserves is probably similar to active duty, but don't take my word for it. Of course, the best way to find out is to contact a recruiter. So active duty, when you want to go through the enlistment process, or you're like, hey man, like this sounds like a great idea, I would love to do something like this. Then for active duty, if you would like to go active duty, then you would contact an active duty recruiter. Usually you can honestly like just go onto the Air Force's website and fill out like a little application type form or whatever, and then they'll usually call you or something to that regard. And that's pretty much the same all the way across the board. Like if you want to join the reserves, you call up the reserve recruiter. If you want to join the guard, you call up a guard recruiter. Now how it differs is that active duty, you go to MEPS twice technically. So you go to MEPS the first time, and this is I think MEPS stands for military, oh geez, I'm probably gonna butcher this, like military entry processing station. So what you're gonna do there is, like, obviously you need to physically qualify to serve in the military, so you can't have, you know, certain conditions or illnesses. And of course, like, it doesn't automatically disqualify you. For example, if you wear glasses, you might be disqualified for some jobs, but you're not going to be disqualified for every job. Now, if you have like asthma, for example, chances are you're probably not going, the doctor's probably going to tell you, like, you know, thank you for wanting to join, but unfortunately you don't qualify to serve. And that's where you will find that out, is at MEPS. Also at MEPS, you take the ASVAB, which, don't even ask me what the ASVAB, what that acronym stands for. I think the B stands for battery, but don't take my word for it. But anyway, so that's like a written test that you take, and it essentially is supposed to give you some score or a couple of different scores, and that'll tell you what jobs you qualify for. Typically, obviously, the higher the score, the more jobs you qualify for. So active duty, when you're enlisting in the active duty, you are going to talk with your recruiter, you're going to fill out a bunch of paperwork, things like that. Then you're going to go to MEPS for the first time, and you're going to have your physical done, and they test everything. Like, they're going to test your eyesight, they're going to test your hearing, they're probably going to make you pee in a cup and provide a urine sample and a blood sample, and they're going to test out your mobility and all sorts of different things. If you you have to disclose all of your medical history. So for example, when I went to MEPS, I disclosed the fact that I had had appendicitis and then sepsis, and so I've had abdominal surgery. So the doctor had to talk to me about that and get documentation of everything that happened and look at my scar and all that. So it's usually, like, they're very thorough, but it's not bad. Then active duty members will also take the ASVAB while they're there at MEPS. Now, this is how at least the guard differs. The guard, you don't take the ASVAB at MEPS. You take the ASVAB at the duty station that you are wanting to work at. So for me, I do believe that I took the ASVAB before I ever went to MEPS. And then I went to MEPS, got all of that stuff taken care of, and then went back home and got to choose my job. Active duty is kind of similar. You go back home after MEPS, and then I think you can choose a job, or you can go in open contract. it honestly just kind of depends on, like, the recruiter, your scores, things like that. Like, there's a lot of different things that it depends on. Then, once when, you know, you're basically given the Air Force blessing or whatever, as I call it, you wait to find out when you're going to be going to basic training. Then once when you find out your date, you go back to MEPS and your family is welcome there. I think the second day you spend the night and then you go and do all of your final, you know, out processing, whatever kind of thing. Your family can watch you swear in. You swear in at MEPS and then they take you to the airport and you're off to basic training. So, you know, it seems, you know, fairly simple and stuff. In the Guard, you only go to MEPS once. After you choose your job, you swear in, and then you start going to drill weekends until you get your basic training date. So for me, I swore in February 2012, but I didn't go to basic training until September of 2012. So I spent about 6 months going to drill weekends in this thing called student flight. And student flight was actually really beneficial because I was able to learn the ranks of, like, all the ranks in the Air Force, and I learned the Airman's Creed. I learned all sorts of, like, Air Force things that really set me up for success in basic training. So, and on top of that, I also got paid. So that was pretty awesome. Waiting is not so awesome, but, you know, there's so many people who want to enlist in the Air Force, and so they can only obviously put so many people in a flight. So, you know, who the heck knows how all that works out? Like, that's just all up to, like, personnel and force support squadrons and stuff like that. So yeah, that's pretty much, like, the MEPS process and the enlistment process as a whole. So as far as the ASVAB is concerned, I don't remember it being too terribly hard. I personally did not study for it, and I got a pretty high score. I do recommend maybe buying a study guide or finding some, like, online quizzes just to give you an idea of what to expect. Like, I had no clue what to expect. A lot of public high schools, so if you're still in high school, a lot of public high schools will actually let you take the ASVAB at school, or, you know, whatever. They'll let you sign up to take the ASVAB. And if the military is something that you're really, like, considering, then I recommend just taking it, because, to be honest, like, you can take the ASVAB and still decide, like, not to enlist. Like, that's totally fine. Nothing is set in stone until you raise your right hand and you sign your enlistment contract. Like, for example, my sister took the ASVAB in high school. Like, she's not in the military, but she took it just to keep her options open. I went to a private high school, so I did not take the ASVAB in high school. I took the ASVAB about, I don't know, 6 months or so after I graduated from high school. And so I think that that's probably why I did so well, is because I was still in college. Like, all of my, I don't know, knowledge from high school and my first semester in college was, like, still in my brain. So I think that's why I did so well. But if you are, like, you know, kind of older and you're wanting to enlist, I highly recommend buying a study guide, because, like, they do, from what I remember, there was math questions and English questions and stuff. So I do highly recommend studying. And then obviously just the usual, like, test taking techniques. I do believe that there was a time limit when I took the ASVAB. I know for a fact that the AFOQT, which is the officer version of the ASVAB, has a time limit. I think that the ASVAB does too, but don't take my word for it. So when you're preparing to go to MEPS, obviously you will end up filling out a ton of paperwork about your medical history with your recruiter, and you have to specify a lot of different things. So if you, for example, I obviously disclosed that I got my wisdom teeth pulled out, so I had to, you know, find medical records of that, and I had to find medical records of my surgeries and, you know, all that jazz. So if you have like an extensive, like if you've ever had a surgery before or like a broken bone, actually, I don't even know if they count broken bones anymore, but if you've ever had like a surgery or you've had to stay in the hospital, you know, things like that, then they're going to want documentation of it. So just be prepared to have to provide that. And then, I think I ended up taking it to MEPS with me, I believe, and giving it to the admin there. So that way the doctor can look over it. So when it comes to MEPS, make sure you bring comfortable clothing, first of all. Like you're essentially just going to be in a doctor's office all day. So there's no need to wear anything like super fancy. Some people who are enlisting choose to wear like, I don't know, semi-casual like business attire. But I don't think that that is like required. That is something to talk to your recruiter about. But if you're just there for the physical portion of it, honestly, I would just wear some comfortable clothes, like maybe even workout clothes. The biggest thing, especially for women, do keep in mind that you will be dressing, like undressing. Like you're going to have to do the mobility part in your bra and underwear. So your recruiter should go over this with you, but just fair warning, like don't wear G-strings or thongs or anything like that. Like just go with the good old-fashioned granny panties and like a sports bra. And then also for females, you will be required to end up like taking off your bra and underwear and getting into a gown type situation. And they do look at your private parts, but it's not like a full on like, you know, women's wellness exam that we're used to going to. It's just like I think what they made me do, I was already laying down. They like made me put the bottoms of my feet together and like spread my knees apart, if that makes any sense. And that's pretty much it. Like they let you, you know, have like a sheet on your lap the entire time and stuff. So just be prepared for that. So don't be wearing like, you know, a lacy bra or anything like that. And yeah, I mean, other than that, like it's just a standard physical. They're going to test your hearing, like I had said, in your eyesight. They will take blood and urine samples. So obviously, like, don't, if you're into like, I don't know, drugs, marijuana, whatever, don't do any drugs before you go. Make sure you get enough sleep. That's a big thing because they wake you up really freaking early that morning. So, you know, don't be going out to, you know, see the town or explore or whatever. Like, make sure that you are in bed at a decent hour because you will be woken up at like 3:30 in the morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 2 of my U.S. Air Force Basic Military Training Advice series. Hopefully this helped to like clarify some things for you as far as like active duty versus reserve versus guard and what to expect at MEPS and what to expect taking the ASVAB. As always, feel free to send me a message if you have any questions at all. I really hope that this was helpful, and on the next episode in this series, we will dive in to what you guys have all been waiting for, which is like the actual basic military training portions of this series. If you would like to follow me elsewhere, you can find me on my blog at thefitwriter.blog, and you can also find me on Instagram. I am at the.fit.writer. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you next time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.